Which big name gets traded first, Ben Simmons or John Wall? And with the WNBA's regular season over, we'll count down the top plays and give you a playoff preview. Plus, ahead of the release of NBA Ranked tomorrow, who should be ranked number one? And I sat down with Steve Ballmer to talk about the Clippers' new arena. The jump starts now. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Ramona Shelburne, and today I'm joined by our NBA insider Tim Bontemps and senior writer for The Undefeated and the unofficial mayor of Oakland, Mark Spears. We're about a week out from the opening of training camps, and two big names are looking for some clarity on their situation. Last week, John Wall and the Rockets agreed to seek a trade partner for him, while Ben Simmons has wanted out of Philly all summer. So, Mark, let's start with you. Who do you think gets dealt first between these two?
I would think conventional wisdom would say John Wall, because he and the Rockets are on the same page and they're, you know, kumbaya and working this thing out. But with John Wall's money, I just don't know how many suitors are really ready to jump in the pool and make that big, big plunge. So as complicated as Ben Simmons' situation is, and an extremely complicated, the only thing they agree on is that there probably needs to be a divorce. I still think it's there's many more suitors for Ben Simmons, whether Daryl Morey is listening or not. And the John Wall thing is it's very complicated with that money and his age.
I mean, you know, Mark, you say divorce. I say fresh starts. I mean, there's a different framing here. Tim, what do you think?
Nah, that's a divorce.
I think Spears is right on the money here. You look at this John Wall contract we've got on the screen now, $91 million over the next 2 years. You look at Kemba Walker, a guy who was an easier guy to trade, and the Oklahoma City Thunder, who never buy out guys, bought out Kemba Walker's contract, allowed him to go to the New York Knicks. Why do you think they didn't try to rehab his value and move him on? That was because it was going to be very difficult to move that Kemba Walker contract. And John Wall's contract is another $20 million more than Kemba. So you combine the fact that he's making that much more money, and Ben Simmons is a guy who, like Mark said, has a lot of value around the league. To me, I think it's clear that of these two guys, even if it's going to take a while to move Ben Simmons, I think he's the one of these two guys that gets moved.
Mark, the question is, who can stand the pressure the longest when it comes to Ben Simmons, right? He wants a fresh start. They would like to rehabilitate his value a little bit. But if he doesn't show up to training camp on September 28th, what happens?
Yeah, I don't agree that his value needs to be rehabbed. I mean, a smart GM once told me that don't go too high or too low, which happens in the postseason. So I think there certainly is some respect for Ben Simmons, a multiple all-star, and what he could do. But look, I mean, for Ben, I think he's made his decision up. He's working out of L.A. He's doing two-a-days. I've heard he's mentally good. He's just waiting on them. So I think the thing that makes it difficult is that Philly is going to reach for pie in the sky, but at some point when the season starts and it gets irritating with the demand, or if they wait to the trade deadline, like, the clock is ticking, and at some point they're going to have to step back and be more realistic about what they could get for Ben.
Tim, I think you know the Sixers
point,
probably. Tim knows the Sixers better than anybody, right? And the question is, how long can Daryl Morey wait? I mean, how long can the Sixers, if you're there and they start off the year 4-6, 5-5, what does Daryl Morey do?
Absolutely, and that would, to Mark's point, you know, this is about what the Sixers want to do and how much they want to wait on making the right deal for Ben Simmons as opposed to making the best deal they can make right now and moving on from this situation. And like we've talked about a bunch, to your point, Ramona, there's nobody more suited to being in an uncomfortable situation from an executive standpoint in the league than Daryl Morey. He's perfectly fine with letting this go into the season and waiting to get the best situation he could get for the Sixers going forward, because look, as we've talked about, they've got Tobias Harris under contract. They've got Joel Embiid under contract. They're way over the salary cap. They're not going to be able to clear Ben Simmons' money out and go sign people in free agency. This is their chance to remain a championship-level team and add another big piece in moving on from Ben Simmons. They can't just make the first deal they can make. They've got to get the right deal for them, and that's what they're going to have to wait to see how good a deal they can get, weighed against how awkward this situation is going to be starting next Monday when Media Day comes, and Ben's probably not in Philly.
You going to be there on Media Day, Tim?
I will be there. We'll live and in person. We'll see what happens.
All right. It's time to run it back to the top plays of the WNBA regular season, which just wrapped up over the weekend. Number five, Brittany Griner with the dunk. She has a career high 5 dunks this season.
Hey.
Ooh.
She gets up.
She got hops. She got hops.
One hand.
Okay.
Ooh, a little strut down the
yeah,
court.
Yeah, five dunks.
Number four, wow, Sabrina Ionescu drains the game winner. Here it is. She always looks like Steph Curry.
Area. That's my girl that right nice there one. From the Bay.
Liberty making the playoffs
last
this year.
Last game of the season yesterday. Yeah, that was big.
Number three, Crystal Bradford of the Atlanta Dream hits the Sham God, then finishes the play
I'm
with the
glad,
and one. I like that we call it the Sham God.
I'm glad we're still
now.
Talking about this. I was going to say, I'm glad we're still talking about the Sham God. That's the part I'm excited about. That's awesome.
Number two, thankful.
This is the ageless Candace Parker. Drops a beautiful pass.
Ooh.
From half okay. court.
Okay.
Look at that. Nice
look at that.
Overhand.
That's the female magic right there.
And number one, I'm so sorry to do this to you, Sue, but it has to be Aaron Wheeler's crossover and finish earlier this month. Oh, no. Oh, we do the freeze frame and everything.
That was it.
Oh.
That was a tough one.
You want to see a dead body?
Oh, no, Sue's just my girl, man. I feel bad. She knows it, though. It's okay. Look, the regular season wrapped up. So here's how the playoff seeding ended up shaking out after an exciting weekend in the W. The first and second rounds are both single elimination, one game, and they reseed after every round. The top two teams, the Sun and the Aces, are automatically into the semifinals, and when the series becomes best of five. The Sun have won 14 straight heading into the playoffs, and here's what I expect from the WNBA playoffs. Look, Connecticut has won 14 in a row, and I think that they have to be the favorite, but Seattle is the defending champs, and they have been load managing. We don't know what Breonna Stewart is going to be able to do with that foot injury. She sat out the rest of the regular season with that. But if she comes back, that is a dangerous mid seed right there. Then there's Candace Parker, who missed a bunch of the season at the beginning with that ankle injury. But Chicago Sky comes in with a lower seed as well. The Aces, with Liz Cambage just coming back from COVID, are seeded number two. They were in WNBA Finals last year. So We look at the WNBA. This to me is one of the most exciting brackets we've seen, because the last couple of years, you said, oh, it's Seattle's the favorite. This year, Connecticut should be the favorite. And I know Jonquel Jones likes to put on disrespect with the CT at the end, capital CT. Let's see if they hold on. What do you guys think?
Well, look, I think when you look at these playoffs, like you just ran through all these stars on all these teams, yeah. Right? Remember, the Aces are loaded with stars. They've got Aya Wilson, Kelsey Plum, Liz Cambage. You've got the Storm with Breonna Stewart and Sue Bird. All these teams, a lot of talent. But the Connecticut Sun, 91.7 defensive rating. That's like a, you know, New York Knicks from the early 90s defensive rating, especially compared to these other teams. So I think, to your point, they've dominated the regular season. I think despite them lacking some of the star power of these other teams, I think, like you said, you've got to look at them as the favorites to win the title this year.
Mark?
I don't like the single elimination thing in the first and second round. I mean, I think these women have done more than enough, and the game is growing, and the viewership is better. To just have them play single elimination is a disrespect to them and the game.
Oh, Mark's on freeze frame, but at least he looks good in that freeze frame. Okay, coming up in exactly 2 minutes, exactly 1 year ago, it feels like 10 years, Anthony Davis buried the game winner in the conference finals against the Nuggets. What a moment for AD, and how did Kobe impact that Lakers run in the bubble? That's next. Stick around. Here's our distant replay from this day last year in the bubble. AD calls game. Remember after the game, Davis said he yelled Kobe when he shot it? Mark, how strong was Kobe's influence during the Lakers' run in the bubble?
Oh, man, it wasn't just on the Lakers, but also on the entire league. And I'm going to give you a little tip. NBA is coming out with these anniversary commercials for 75 years.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a Kobe influence in these commercials, similar to what AD just did.
Everybody does that
I
now when they hit that game winning shot.
A year
right?
ago.
Doesn't it feel like 10 years ago?
It's unbelievable. Me and Mark were there for that in person. It's just when they called before the show and said, hey, we're talking about this, it was a year ago. Honestly, it feels like at least five. It's crazy that it was just a year ago.
I don't miss those bubble meals, boy. They gave you the bubbles.
Yeah, it feels like another lifetime ago, all that stuff. Just being there, going to one game after another all day, it was, I mean, it's unlike anything hopefully we ever experience again for many reasons, but it was a crazy thing to be a part of.
I do like that everybody yells Kobe when they shoot that last shot.
Well, my boy Sekou Smith was at that game, yeah. God rest his soul.
Yeah. Let's go with Ann.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone! No, he missed it.
That's no good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Oh, my heavens.
Oh, my.
He missed it right.
Oh, miss! Depth perception! This happened in the NBA once, too. Watch.
Beal driving, kicks it out. Ariza, baseline, dagger!
Wow.
Ariza from the baseline for three, and the Wizards with a miraculous comeback in Washington. They're saying it did not go. Evidently, it came up short.
Bad for the announcers here, Tim. This has got to be hard from their vantage point.
Yeah,
no, that dude.
I mean,
Timmy.
No, it's game,
at that
brutal.
Point,
I mean,
think he was sitting courtside. Yeah, I ain't giving him no pass on that one.
It hit the net.
No, it's Steve Buckhantz, the legendary announcer for the Wizards. He was up on the second level there. They moved his seat, and he was
Look
right behind
net.
It. So that's why he thought it. That's why he thought it went in. That was a rough moment. I remember that game when it happened. I think I was watching it. And he had a hell of a career, but that was a tough moment for him for sure.
Oh, I feel bad. It hit the net. I see why he thought it went in. Oh.
The perils of the announcers being off the court. This
in happier news, Anthony Davis got married. He tied the knot this weekend to his longtime partner, Marlon. He serenaded her and was very romantic. Hey, two married guys, you guys got married 2 years ago. Mark, between Dame and Danny Green's wedding this summer, was this the summer of love in the NBA?
Yeah, no, I mean, we didn't get invited. Was that Ralph Trezman right there? I mean, I did hear that it was quite entertaining at Danny Green's wedding. That's all I could say.
Oh, I mean, I could only imagine. I would just say it was a summer of love for everybody. All these weddings last summer that got postponed, they all got postponed, pushed back to this summer. So there's been a whole bunch of them all over the place. So I would say everybody's having a good time.
Hey, but mine was off the hook in New Orleans, though. Mine was off the hook, too. It was at House of Blues.
Well, you're the mayor of Oakland and New Orleans, so that doesn't surprise
me. Yes! Rhythm! Here is internet sensation slash shooting coach, Lethal Shooter, shooting from a moving car.
Slash St. Bonaventure legend.
Whoa.
To another moving car.
Slash St. Bonaventure legend, Lethal Shooter.
Tim, does this actually do anything for your game, or is it just cool video? Both are acceptable.
No, listen. Chris Matthews, a.k.a. Lethal Shooter, a.k.a. St. Bonaventure graduate like myself. Huge fan of him. He does some unbelievable stuff. I mean, this, you know, he's a shot trainer for a bunch of guys. He worked with Bobby Portis last year, helped Bobby bump his 3-point shooting up. Part of the Bucks title run was a big part of Bobby Portis,
like
a big part
jazz
of that.
Step.
So yeah, I mean this I don't know how much this is helping, but he knows what he's doing when it comes to shooting. He's a heck of a shooting coach.
Hey, shout out to the truck drivers, man. They need more credit for being on the same page.
Do we have a police escort here?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Ambidexterity. Look at this claymation treatment for a Kobe fadeaway on LeBron. The camera's flipped so it looks like he's shooting lefty, and people kept commenting on it, but guess what? Kobe was nice with his left, too. And Kobe would tell you he practiced that. But was Kobe actually ambidextrous? Look at this, look. He hits that three with his left.
Okay, I thought I knew everything about him. That's news to me. I'm not surprised.
He definitely
didn't he do that at the free throw line before?
Even Mark Cuban standing up. Remember when he hurt his shoulder and he just started shooting left-handed?
Yeah.
Yep, there it is.
Yeah.
I just want to know how long it took to do that claymation thing. I mean, look at how long. I mean, it took, almost had taken 20 hours at least. I mean, look at all that.
That's
crazy.
I think that's kind of the point of claymation, though. It takes a long time. It's clay.
It definitely
Isn't that
does.
Stuff we used to see when we were kids? I remember seeing a lot of claymation when I was a little boy. Not so much now. They need to bring it back.
Gumby.
It's quite
it's
impressive.
Retro. Yeah.
Gumby.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm impressed that you know that, Tim.
Hey, since we have the mayor of Oakland here.
I watched Gumby when I was a kid.
Well, Mark, you're like the unofficial mayor, but who's the actual mayor of Oakland? Let's talk about the Golden
Gary
State
Warriors.
Gary Payton. Oh, see, you know. The Golden State Warriors. The Dubs missed the postseason for the second straight season last year, but Steph Curry averaged a career-high 32 points a night and won the scoring title. Steph will get his backcourt mate, Klay Thompson, back this season, but the Warriors' depth at guard leaves a little bit to be desired. Let's take a look at who's on the squad. Steph is the only point guard listed other than Gary Payton Jr., who appeared in 10 games last year and averaged just under 3 points. Mark, who do you think the Warriors go after as a big-time backup for Steph?
Well, you know, Poole has been quite impressive, especially late in the season, and I think he's going to get every opportunity to show that he deserves the backup Steph. But what the Warriors are doing this week basically tells you that they're concerned. They've been having some workouts the last couple weeks, and this week they have Avery Bradley coming in, which is, to me, impressive that Avery Bradley's not signed, or not impressive for him, but shocked that he's not signed. Quinn Cook, the former Warrior, is coming in, and also Isaiah Thomas is coming in as well. I'm told that the Warriors actually have sincere interest in Isaiah Thomas. I text with Isaiah. He said this is the best he's felt since 2017. His body feels good. He feels like he could give that all-star boost that he once had. And he says, even at, 5'9", that he's dunking now, which I wish we could be on the fly on the wall Chase Center and watch these workouts. But expect the Warriors to take two of these guys out of this week and also to add a big guy to camp as well.
Well, they do have that final roster spot, and sometimes they choose to leave that open to sign people during the year. But, you know, in their playoff runs, in the runs where they went to the finals, they generally needed that backup point guard at some point.
Well, and they're also very expensive too, Ramona, so that's the other part of that 15th roster spot. I could see him leaving it open just because of that, maybe till later in the season. But look, the Warriors are going to go as far as Steph Curry takes them, and if Steph Curry gets hurt, whether they have Avery Bradley or Isaiah Thomas on the roster, it's not going to make any difference in terms of whether they're going to be able to sink or swim, right? If Steph misses 8 or 9 games like he did last year, Golden State's going to be really good. If he misses twice that many games or more than that this year, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. So I think this is one of those things where it's obviously a need, but it's one of those things that they're not going to find a replacement that's going to do what Steph does anyway. So they just need him to stay healthy, hope to get Klay back around Christmas, and you know, if those guys are both on the court, they're going to think they have a puncher's chance in the West.
All right, coming up on The Jump, I sat down with Steve Ballmer to talk about the Clippers' new arena and what it's been like to share a building with the Lakers. And where does he get all of that in-game energy from? God, I need some of that. Don't go anywhere.
No, you don't.
Look at that.
The WNBA playoffs tip off Thursday with a doubleheader on ESPN2 and the app, and two elimination games. First, the Wings take on the Sky at 8 Eastern, then the Liberty square off against the Phoenix Mercury. 37 years. The Clippers needed 37 years in Los Angeles to finally reach the Western Conference Finals. The last 22 years were in Staples Center, where they were the third team behind the Lakers and hockey's NHL Kings. But 7 years ago, Steve Ballmer bought the Clippers and started them on a path to forging their own identity. As his team broke ground on a new arena in Inglewood, I sat down with Ballmer to discuss his vision for the future of basketball in Los Angeles.
You're playing in the same city, in the same exact arena.
It drives the Laker fans absolutely insane. Los Angeles.
The Los Angeles Clippers are breaking ground on their new home.
They will create new fans in LA that are Clippers fans instead of Lakers fans.
How long have you wanted to build this stadium?
When I first bought the Clippers, I said, isn't it great? Don't need to build a stadium. Then I buy the team, and it's like, whoa. Then it's not our house. This is when, you know, the putting up the pictures of our guys, hiding banners. So I'd say within a year or so of buying the team, I'm starting to get skeptical. We need our own house. And let's make our house a basketball mecca. Just the best place in the world. We're building a fantastic building because we're trying to communicate. We are a fantastic organization. Our fans need to know that. Our players, free agents. It's an identity thing.
Ty Lue had a comment about this in the playoffs.
There's a lot of Laker fans here, but once the Lakers are gone, if we're not playing the Lakers, you should be cheering for the Clippers.
What do you do about that?
I think for enough years, the Clippers were bad enough. Everybody could just kind of ignore the Clippers.
Well, when things don't go right, they just stay that way.
Oh, me! Oh, my!
An embarrassing moment.
We're good now, and we're going to be good year in and year out. And I think some of the fans on the other side, if you will, it's like, what? You dare to question our supremacy? No, we do. We got our fans. We use our expression, LA our way. The other guys feel a little threatened. That's okay. It means we're doing good.
You look like you have fun at games.
Steve Ballmer, fired up.
Loving every minute of it.
What is it going to be like for you at this arena?
I do have fun at games. And I feed off of the energy in the building. And so the more energy, the more fan experience, the more seats that have people in them. Players love fans, so I figured even from our team, to make our team better, more energy in the building is a great thing.
Your Los Angeles Clippers are heading to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in their franchise history.
There was a lot of energy in the building last year.
Yes, there was.
Western Conference Finals. You came up short, though.
We did.
Is there a part of you that wonders what could have happened if Kawhi was there?
I have a lot of, you know, woulda, shoulda, would have been great. You know, we were within a whisker or two of taking care of business in the Western Conference Finals, even without Kawhi. We basically have most of the same team back for next year. I remain optimistic.
How do you look at next year, knowing that you probably won't have Kawhi for a lot of it?
We have a very, very good basketball team, even without Kawhi. We're going to win a lot of games. Obviously, we would be an even better basketball team with Kawhi. But, you know, it's part of the game. Some people will talk about we're taking a step back or we got an injured year. No. Our fans can count on the fact that we are going to try to win as many ball games as we can every year.
Do you have a reaction to Kawhi in the Drake video? Can you do that dance too?
I can't do the dance. I was glad to see it. It looked like Kawhi was having a lot of fun. Hopefully it also said his knee's coming along nicely. Otherwise he wouldn't have been in the video.
The Clippers expect that new arena to open in 2024 and 25. Tim, what is the importance of the Clippers moving into their own arena?
Well, first of all, if I'm a fan, I want Steve Ballmer to own the team that I root for, right? I mean, you see in this interview with you, he can't sit still in his seat at in the interview, let alone when he's sitting at these games. He spends money. He's into the team. He's kind of the model of what you would want if you're a fan. And look, this arena is part of that, and I do think it is a pretty significant thing for the Clippers to have their own home. I mean, you guys know you're in LA all the time. It is a Laker town through and through. And like you guys, like he mentioned in that interview with you, it's weird going to Staples Center for Clipper games and just seeing those banners come down over all those uniforms that are on display there, right? It is a home to the Lakers, and the Clippers have always felt like they're visitors. And having their own building, having a basketball intimate arena, I think it's going to give them a real chance to have an established home base where they could say, hey, we're the team here. We don't have to worry about sharing with anybody. And look, they've already gone out and got Kawhi Leonard in free agency, right? This isn't to me about recruiting players to come there. People are going to want to play for Ty Lue, to play for a guy like Steve Ballmer. This is about really trying to establish themselves as a franchise in LA where they've always just kind of been a team without a home. And this gives them a chance to potentially have that home now.
Well, and also this takes away the JV game that they always play on Sunday, which always seems to be embarrassing to me. They play at noon and then the Clippers play at night, or they're forced to play on Saturday night. Now they want to play on Saturday night. That's because ABC has them on the Saturday showcase game. And also I hope they take something from Atlanta and they take something from Golden State. And what I mean by that is I want to see some local stores or local restaurants inside this building, some local flavor. I want to see the Serving Spoon. I want to see Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. I want to see Randy's Donuts in there. things that make the locals, like, you know, you keep hearing this, I would. No, it's Inglewood, right? Inglewood. Keep Inglewood.
Yeah.
People that have been living there, do not sell your house. That football stadium and that basketball arena is going to make your house extremely great in value. Wait, keep it. You know, there's finally some great things coming to Inglewood, but I hope the people that have been there don't get pushed out or financially in the process.
Well, they're committed.
Well, to your point, Mark, if you're doing that and you have some local businesses there, that's another way to try to ingratiate yourselves into that community, right? And get people to really resonate with the Clippers in a way they just have never been able to at Staples Center.
You know, they've made a point of trying to incorporate the local community, but also basketball in L.A. So they're going to have, it's going to feel like L.A. basketball. They're going to have high school jerseys from all the different local high schools. You know, Palmdale obviously is where Paul George went. Marino Valley is where Kawhi is from. They're going to have memorabilia from all over the place. And one of the things, like this place, guys, this is going to be one of the most technologically advanced arenas I have ever seen. Like they showed us this Halo scoreboard, okay? So the Halo scoreboard is like a big ring around the arena. And most scoreboards look like a box. This is a halo, and it's two-sided. And they actually had Kawhi Leonard go down there and shoot free throws to make sure that it wasn't distracting for the players, or shoot free throws to make sure that would.
The Rams have that too, right?
Yeah, it's going to be really. They have concessions where you just walk up and take your drink. You don't have to bring money or credit cards or anything like that. Apparently, they're going to have cameras that scan you.
Gambling's going to come too. The gambling place is coming. Clipper Darryl could ride his bike there from where he
lives. Pretty much. Yeah, he was there the other day. It was interesting being there with Jerry West, who obviously had a lot of great years at the Forum, which is right next door. The Clippers had to buy the Forum for $400 million to settle the lawsuit to complete this sale and acquire this land. And they're not sure what they're going to do with the Forum yet. It's still there. It's a great music venue, but there's a lot of Laker history there. Be very interesting to see what the Clippers do with the Forum going forward, because they own it now.
Yeah.
All right, now during the groundbreaking ceremony, at the end of it, let me just set this, okay? I'm going to scene set. We see Kawhi here. We see Paul George. They thought the ceremony was over. And then they said, oh, we got a special guest here. We got a special treat. Fits in the Tantrums performance. Kawhi, Paul. To be fair, okay, LeBron, everybody, I know that video. Ooh. Kawhi is the most, like, unintentionally funny guy. Okay, but I'm going to see, they thought they were done. Like, they got the shovels out, they got the dirt out, and then those guys thought they were going to get up and walk out, but they were blocked in. The stage was in between them and the exit, so they got to stay for the, you know, I can make your hands clap, and they were like, no, we just want to go.
They look like kids who got held after school for detention. I mean, Kawhi looked beyond miserable sitting there. That was wild to see. That was amazing.
Well, another thing is, that's where you got to embrace the locals, right?
Yeah.
Is that hands clap band, are they from L.A.? Are they from Inglewood?
Why didn't
they
have
the
Mac-10?
You know, why didn't they have Omarion? Right. Why didn't they have Swali from Ray Sherman? I probably
didn't say that
correctly.
Paul George eventually did clap his hands. He was like, I'm going to make your hands clap. And eventually, you don't see it in this video. Kawhi, no, did not look up.
Ray Shrimp.
Kawhi was like, no,
Paul did clap his hands, though. He did.
Mac 10 was there? What?
Yeah, it's true. They did have a lot of other tattoos.
LeBron would have had a different tweet then. If Omarion was there singing, oh, it would have been amazing.
All right, coming up, after 9 years in Toronto, how will six-time All-Star Kyle Lowry fit in with Jimmy Butler, Spo, Pat Riley, and the Miami Heat culture? Heat culture. George Sedano joins us to talk the Heat next on The Jump. Saturday night from T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, it's UFC 266 with a stack card. The prelims are on ESPN News, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus, starting at 8 Eastern, followed by the main card on pay-per-view. To order in English and Spanish, go to ESPNPlus.com/PPV.
I want Ortega to win, but Volkanovski is going to win, and Nick Diaz is going to beat Robbie Lawler. Book it.
Bonus
take it to the
coverage.
Bank.
Bonus
take it
coverage.
To the bank. Watch the Chael Sonnen show with George Sedano on ESPN Plus.
Oh, he sneaks in a promo.
Yeah, we taped it today.
Hey, welcome to our sideline reporter and ESPN LA radio host. And
I was going to say, before you can even introduce him, he's giving takes, he's giving promos.
Let's go.
Thanks for stopping by, George. That's good. Thanks.
Good to be here.
Hey, let's start with the Heat. Kyle Lowry replaces Goran Dragic in both position and jersey number, as he will start at point guard and wear number 7 this season. George, as a Miami native, is Lowry a good fit for hashtag Heat culture?
Oh, come on. You could not ask for a better free agent that was available to fit their Heat culture, because my man is taking charges in all-star games, really? All right? Pat Riley loves a dude who could take a charge. And here's the other thing. This Heat team, all kidding aside, needed a guy who's been a leader, okay? Another guy, so that way it's not all on Jimmy Butler, right? So there's that part of the equation. And championship experience, something that outside of Udonis Haslem, who doesn't play, but obviously plays a big role in helping the team, they sorely lacked. So having this guy like a Kyle Lowry there with Jimmy Butler help the growth of Bam Adebayo continue, help the growth of Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson continue, I think he's the guy that fits that mold for sure.
Who had Ersan Ilyasova on that list? Wow.
Yeah. Well, look, I'd be scared to go in that locker room if I was a young fella now. You got UD, you got Jimmy, and now you got Kyle. You can't be slacking at all. You can't have any mistakes in that locker room. You better come early to practice, stay late, and work on your game, or you're going to get cussed out probably throughout the whole practice and workout. So, I mean, like, that's Heat culture, man. They don't play. I mean, UD has set that example and kept that example that he got from Alonzo Mourning, continued it to now, and I'm sure Kyle Lowry will have no problem. He should get more credit in terms of helping Toronto win that championship for what he did in the locker room. But he, on and off the court, he has certainly enhanced the Miami culture.
Yeah, no question. The combination of him and PJ Tucker, those two guys are both quintessential Miami Heat players for all the reasons that George said. And the other thing that I think is really important is that Kyle Lowry is really close with Jimmy Butler. And I think him walking into that locker room with that relationship already really strong and being able to kind of help take on some of that leadership mantle with Jimmy, I think is a huge thing for the Heat. And it's going to really allow them to come into the season fully aligned with what they want to do and how they want to do it. And I don't know how much they're going to necessarily load manage during the season or maybe kind of have these guys ready for the playoffs, but you get to the playoffs, you got to score on a team with Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry, and PJ Tucker. I would say good luck to you if you're going to try to do that. They're going to be an incredibly tough team to play in the postseason.
I'll add this, too. I think this is going to be great for Kyle Lowry, who's 35, but it feels like a young 35 because he doesn't have the mileage that a lot of guys have because he didn't play all that much early in his career. But the Heat culture, the other part of it is, you're going to be in the best shape you've ever been in. Ask any dude who goes there. There's a reason why some dudes don't want to go there. So I hope, Kyle, you're ready for the body fat count and the weigh-ins and all that stuff. But you are going to be a better player for it, for sure.
I've been thinking
Hey,
about
George, somebody told me that Pat Riley actually gets on the scale with these guys.
He does.
Riley gets on the scale with them, like, what are you going to say? Or you're not going to complain about it. You know, I'm just glad I ain't got to get on that scale.
Yeah, well, listen, he's challenged the media before, too, as someone who was there covering that team for many years.
I've been there,
and you know, they do it as an organization, too, so they walk the walk and talk the talk. Even the PR guys have to take on the challenge sometimes.
Well, they in trouble. I just saw them at the Hall of Fame. Although it was funny, they didn't get fed. People didn't get fed during the dinner, and Pat Riley, unfortunately, was one of them, so they'll be ready to weigh in.
Well, they just didn't have enough dinners or something?
Wow.
No, it's not the Hall of Fame's fault, but
people didn't send in the RSVP cards.
Yeah, unfortunately, half the room didn't get a meal.
Ooh, oh, but it's shared, just portion control.
It was good.
And let's stay in the East with Jason Tatum. He's been going viral all summer with his workout pics. It's clear that he's made it a priority to bulk up. Here's what he said about it recently when asked at his camp. Part of me getting older, my body is just starting to change. As well as putting in the work in, I want people to see me go to the basket more. I like the step back jumper. It's compromise. I'll do what people want. So Tim, what's the ceiling for this new version of Jason Tatum entering year 5?
Well, look, Jason Tatum really does love the isolation step back. It's a big part of his game. But the thing that's going to make him a top 10 player in the NBA is if he does go to the basket more, and specifically if he gets to the foul line more. If you look at the last year's NBA, if you look at the stats, the top 11 guys in the NBA in free throws per game got there at least 8 times per game. Jason Tatum got there 5.3. The year before, he got there 4.7. If he wants to go from being a 25, 26-point-a-game scorer to a guy that's scoring 30 points a game, the key for him is going to be going to the line 8, 9, 10 times a game. He does that, all of a sudden he launches himself into a new rarefied air as opposed to being just a really good all-star level player. Then he becomes a guy who I think is legitimately considered a top 10 player in the league.
I'm going to raise the stakes even from where Tim has it, because I think he's one of the most talented players we have in the league. Okay, I think he can be an MVP caliber player. And to be honest, if the Celtics want to reach the heights that franchise is used to, that's what he's going to have to do. Okay, and not only get to the basket, but play defense too, because the best players in this sport, the guys who are the MVP candidates, are generally playing on both sides of the ball. He's capable of doing that. We've seen it in certain stretches, but he needs to do that night in and night out. I think he's capable, and I hope that he does it, because he's one of my favorite players to watch.
Yeah, I actually just recently talked to him, and we talked a lot about how he's going to use his Olympic experience to help him take his game up to the next level with the Celtics. But I also asked him, like, yo, man, how much muscle have you gotten over the last couple months?
Swole.
So he turns to his trainer and says, should we tell him? And his trainer's like, no, no, no. We got to keep something secret. So, Yeah, he wouldn't tell me how much muscle he gained, but he definitely looks like he could do a bodybuilding competition right now.
I mean, we just saw him in the Olympics. I can't imagine he gained that much weight. Yeah, I mean, he looked good in the Olympics, but it's not like he gained 40 pounds since then. I think some of these pictures are
No, I'm talking about just muscle strength.
Like. Yeah, well, listen, be careful.
Trying to be in the UFC.
Be right. But be careful, because when you post those pictures, the NBA comes and knocking at your door, and like, hey, all of a sudden you look a little more swole than you used to. What's that about?
Yeah, he probably looked like he put some of that cocoa butter on him too, boy, to shine up. You guys are talking about my picture with the fish. They showed the wrong picture, but it's smoke and mirrors with picture, and maybe he was putting some cocoa butter on him to make him look more shiny and pretty,
right,
like
follow
them.
Follow Mark's Instagram for his real
Arnold
big
Schwarzenegger
fish
used to do.
All right. Look. I really do think he'll benefit, though, from some clarity with Kemba Walker not being there now, because now he truly is the guy. Like, there is no sharing the ball or Kemba's got to get his. Jason is going to be the guy. He'll be the initiator. Yeah, those are good workout. That's good lighting,
hey,
too, though.
Hey, real
Very
quick,
good
Ramona.
Lighting. Yeah.
Those arms.
I did talk to Jaylen Brown the other day as well, and he looks like he's in great shape. I saw him work out, and he told me he'll be ready for camp. He's feeling really good, and he missing the postseason. Really hit him hard. Going to have a story in undefeated in a couple days, but Jaylen looks good as well, and he's ready to share the duty with Jason Tatum.
Right, so yeah, to George's point before, the Celtics have bet their future on Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown being, you know, like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. They both need to take steps forward to do that, and they're betting they're going to be able to, so we'll see if they're right.
All right, Tim, thanks so much for stopping by today. I don't know where you are. You're in, like, a closet or something.
Always happy to be here. Not quite. Not quite.
ESPN's NBA rank is debuting tomorrow. Well, so we'll look ahead to the rankings rollout and ask who should be ranked number one. Stick around. You're watching The Jump. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Michael Porter Jr. is coming off a career year, averaging 19 points a game on 54% shooting. He posted this workout recently on Instagram. Mark, how much of Denver's success depends on Michael Porter Jr. this season?
Well, they're going to count on him to take up the scoring from Jamal Murray's absence like he did in the postseason. He's getting stronger, for what I've been told, been working on his ball handling, working on playing offense against smaller defenders. But he's also working on his defense as well, which is probably his biggest deficiency.
Yeah, defensively he is where he needs to make the most improvement, Ramona and Mark, because offensively he's a walking 20 and 10. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
The offense comes to him with a ton of ease. I don't think I've seen a guy score as easily as he does and make it look so effortless since Tracy McGrady. Easy for me to say, right? But defensively, he needs to step up for sure. And the other thing he needs to do is make the right play. He needs to think the game through a little bit. It's not always about getting your buckets, making sure you get your teammates in the right position as well.
Well,
George, he also in high school, he was great at playing the point guard position. And because of Jokic, obviously he hasn't had much of that opportunity.
Yep.
But I would like to see him bring the ball up more and get to make more decisions from a kind of a Michael Jordan standpoint. I'm sorry, Magic Johnson standpoint.
Yeah.
All right, well, check out former Oklahoma Sooner Trey Young's view of arguably one of the best interceptions ever. This really was one of the best interceptions ever. Okay, Trey's on the sideline.
Okay.
He's got his camera phone up.
Good seats.
Look at this. Look at this. One-handed turning around.
Oh! That's like Odell Beckham, but an interception.
Got to stick him on those gloves.
There it is. Like Odell Beckham.
That's a defensive
back. Trey could have chest bumped the guy after that play. He was so close.
This summer, the Atlanta Hawks star has also appeared at Madison Square Garden as a special guest on WWE's SmackDown. He nailed this, too.
He did.
Look at that.
Yeah, he probably should have been a manager more than somebody that was involved. I can't see Trey beating anybody up.
Yeah,
No, shout out to him, man. He also has built his own home, which is great at his age in Oklahoma City, and bought his own gym, made a gym in there. So kudos to him to putting some money in the right places, too.
Yeah, no doubt. I do agree. He could be a good manager, right? Like, Bobby the Brain Heenan or Slick.
Yeah.
Remember Slick?
Mike,
you know, Captain Lou Albano. I could see Trey, you know, maybe later in his career, you know, NBA's done. He's got, you know, Vince McMahon. Give him a call, man. He's got something there for sure.
But he don't want to be in a battle royal. We can't have my guy in a battle royal.
No,
man.
No. But, you know, he could take a bump for sure. He could take a fall there. We saw it. You know, he's in the action.
I think maybe Eastern Conference Finals again is more what he's thinking.
Yeah, I'm talking like 15 years from now.
Let's hope so.
All right, ESPN.com's 11th annual NBA rank debuts tomorrow with those ranked 100 through 51. Mm. The rest of the top 50 will be revealed throughout the week. LeBron was ranked number one last year, while Giannis was first in 2019. Last year's top five also featured Anthony Davis, Giannis, Luka, and Kawhi. George, who would you have ranked number one heading into this season?
Okay, who am I going to rank is different than who I think will be ranked, okay? So I think...
Who should win?
I think it will be Giannis, okay, if I had to guess. Maybe Kevin Durant. I still believe LeBron James is the best player on the planet. I think that he makes the team around him better, more so than the other two guys. I still think that you're looking at a situation where we saw a couple of years ago, where he's going to have a lot more time off to get healthy and get right. And when LeBron is healthy and right, the last time that happened, he won a championship. So I would still go with LeBron James.
Hey,
what?
With respect to LeBron, to Giannis, Steph, Joker, Luka, it's Kevin Durant, man. Come on. Kevin Durant almost beat the Bucks by himself. And Kevin Durant is the reason why we have a gold medal with USA basketball right now. He should have been on that list last year. I don't care if he was hurt. Kevin Durant is just special. He's unstoppable. There's nothing you could do. The only thing that could stop him is an injury. So I can't see how Kevin Durant's not going to be number one on that list.
This is like the Emmys. Who will win and who should win?
Yeah.
I think who should win is probably Kevin Durant, to Mark, to your point, or LeBron. Who will win? I don't know. What do you think, Luka? Luka is fast rising up those draft
boards. Don't sleep on Giannis, too.
Giannis, Finals MVP?
Yeah. Giannis in the finals.
Giannis or KD will be number one. I would still take Bron. Yeah. Let me tell you something. If the planet was on the line and the aliens came down, Mark Spears, you're not taking LeBron James in that one-game scenario?
I'm taking Kevin Durant, bro.
Man, we already saw
Kevin
Space
Durant
Jam.
Durant beat him
you
in the finals.
You saw Space Jam. You got kids. All right. Thanks to Tim, George, and Mark for joining me. The Jump is back tomorrow on ESPN at 3 Eastern.
See you.
It's crunch time here on The Jump. Michael Porter Jr. is coming off a career year, averaging 19 points a game on 54% shooting. He posted this workout recently on Instagram. Mark, how much of Denver's success depends on Michael Porter Jr. this season?
Well, they're going to count on him to take up the scoring from Jamal Murray's absence like he did in the postseason. He's getting stronger, from what I've been told, been working on his ball handling, working on playing offense against smaller defenders. But he's also working on his defense as well, which is probably his biggest deficiency.
Yeah, defensively he is where he needs to make the most improvement, Ramona and Mark, because offensively he's a walking 20 and 10. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
He comes with the offense comes to him with a ton of ease. I don't think I've seen a guy score as easily as he does and make it look so effortless since Tracy McGrady. Easy for me to say, right? But defensively, he needs to step up for sure. And the other thing he needs to do is make the right play. He needs to think the game through a little bit. It's not always about getting your buckets, making sure you get your teammates in the right position as well.
Well,
George, he also in high school, he was great at playing the point guard position. And because of Jokic, obviously he hasn't had much of that opportunity.
Yep.
But I would like to see him bring the ball up more and get to make more decisions from a kind of a Michael Jordan standpoint. I'm sorry, Magic Johnson standpoint.
Yeah.
All right, well, check out former Oklahoma Sooner Trey Young's view of arguably one of the best interceptions ever. This really was one of the best interceptions ever. Okay, Trey's on the sideline.
Okay.
He's got his camera phone up.
Good seats.
Look at this. Look at this. One-handed turning around.
Oh! That's like Odell Beckham, but an interception.
Got to stick him on those gloves.
There it is. That literally is like Odell Beckham.
That's a
defensive
back.
Trey could have chest bumped the guy after that play. He was so close.
This summer, the Atlanta Hawks star has also appeared at Madison Square Garden as a special guest on WWE's SmackDown. He nailed this, too.
He did.
Look at that.
Yeah, he probably should have been a manager more than somebody that was involved. I can't see Trey beating anybody up.
Yeah, no,
shout out to him, man. He also has built his own home, which is great at his age in Oklahoma City, and bought his own gym, made a gym in there. So kudos to him to putting some money in the right places, too.
Yeah, no doubt. I do agree. He could be a good manager, right? Like, you know, like Bobby the Brain Heenan or Slick.
Yeah.
Remember Slick?
You
know, Captain Lou Albano. I could see Trey, you know, maybe later in his career, you know, NBA's done. He's got, you know, Vince McMahon. Give him a call, man. He's got something there for sure.
But he don't want to be in a battle royal. We can't have my guy in the battle royal.
No,
man.
No. But you know, he could take a bump for sure. He could take a fall there. We saw it. You know, he's in the action.
I think maybe Eastern Conference Finals again is more what he's thinking.
Yeah, I'm talking like 15 years from now.
Let's hope so.
All right, ESPN.com's 11th annual NBA rank debuts tomorrow with those ranked 100 through 51. Mm. The rest of the top 50 will be revealed throughout the week. LeBron was ranked number one last year, while Giannis was first in 2019. Last year's top five also featured Anthony Davis, Giannis, Luka, and Kawhi. George, who would you have ranked number one heading into this season?
Okay, who am I going to rank is different than who I think will be ranked, okay? So I think...
Who should win?
I think it will be Giannis, okay, if I had to guess. Maybe Kevin Durant. I still believe LeBron James is the best player on the planet. I think that he makes the team around him better, more so than the other two guys. I still think that you're looking at a situation where we saw a couple of years ago, where he's going to have a lot more time off to get healthy and get right. And when LeBron is healthy and right, the last time that happened, he won a championship. So I would still go with LeBron James.
Hey,
what?
With respect to LeBron, to Giannis, Steph, Joker, Luka, it's Kevin Durant, man. Come on. Kevin Durant almost beat the Bucks by himself. And Kevin Durant is the reason why we have a gold medal with USA basketball right now. He should have been on that list last year. I don't care if he was hurt. Kevin Durant is just special. He's unstoppable. There's nothing you could do. The only thing that could stop him is an injury. So I can't see how Kevin Durant's not going to be number one on that list.
This is like the Emmys. Who will win and who should win?
Yeah.
I think who should win is probably Kevin Durant, to Mark, to your point, or LeBron. Who will win? I don't know. What do you think, Luka? Luka is fast rising up those draft
boards. Don't sleep on Giannis, too.
Giannis, finals MVP?
Yeah. Giannis in the finals.
Giannis or KD will be number one. I would still take Bron. Yeah. Let me tell you something. If the planet was on the line and the aliens came down, Mark Spears, you're not taking LeBron James in that one game scenario?
I'm taking Kevin Durant, bro.
Man, we already saw
Kevin
Space
Durant
Jam. It was LeBron, clearly.
I saw Kevin Durant beat him
you
in the finals.
You saw Space Jam. You got kids. All right. Thanks to Tim, George, and Mark for joining me. The Jump is back tomorrow on ESPN at 3 Eastern.
See you.